All right, in this session, we want to talk about, I don't know about you, but so much of my counseling is marriage. Marriage is this incredible gift that God gave us, but shockingly difficult, even for Christians. I think so often they just think, I'm a Christian, she's a Christian, what could go wrong? A lot. Whew, I found out for myself. You know, we met at Columbia Bible College. It's like, she loves Jesus, I love Jesus. Wow. It can be difficult because two sinners just started living at close range. And, you know, that's different than just close range. And I don't think it's because God meant to fool us, like, ha, 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 act like this is good and then you do it. What I finally concluded is that his top thing for marriage is that each of you would grow and become more like Christ. Which means those deficiencies in you, they come to the surface at close range. Things you hadn't seen about yourself or had seen and didn't want to deal with, you end up having to deal with it. It just comes to the surface in a hurry, which is painful, can be disorienting and delusion, and but good if you lean in and say, all right. Here, but the first thought is always, I married the wrong person. The reason I know is I said it. I went out and bought a book called The Incompatible Couple. It's still on my shelf just for fun. Because I was like, this is never going to work. I want my music loud. You want it off. I want to read books. You want to thumb through magazines from the back to the front, blurting things out while I try to read my book. I want to be the last one at a party. And you're like, can we leave? I'm tired. I'm like, girl, you're bringing me down. I had a life before you. Like, what is going on? All of a sudden, all I could see were the differences. But what God wanted us to get a hold of is both of you. It's not who's right, who's wrong, who's going to win, who's going to crush the other. Both of you begin to repent and come. And now, oh my goodness, we love each other. God is using us for his glory. And she was not the wrong person. She was the absolute right person. And we are still very different. But, oh, we love each other. And we're not done. I keep changing. She keeps changing. The moment either one of us says, all right, I've arrived. Why don't you work on you this year? Would be a bad, bad year. So there's things that he's helping me with, but I have to stay vigilant about it and keep leaning in. But it's not exhausting. I try to tell my counselees, as hard as it feels at first to do a new thing, it will not stay that way. Lean in. I remember sitting there thinking, as Stuart Scott's talking to us, and bringing to me what a godly husband is supposed to be, and I was just like, I can never do that. That is just not me. I'm not merciful. I'm not gentle. I'll help you take that next hill. Here we go. And it was a lie. It doesn't matter if you have the gift of mercy. I am supposed to become more merciful and more gentle because Jesus is. Even like with personality tests and all that, I grow so weary of it. You know, I'm old enough. It was animals. I'm an aardvark. You're a golden retriever. You know, then it was the disc. I'm a D. I'm an I. I'm a C. Now it's the Enneagram. I'm a 7. Oh, I don't care, 7. You're supposed to become a more Jesus 7, whatever that would look like. Yeah, I don't even know what the numbers mean, but like that's why I take over and hijack all conversations and have to be the center of attention at the table. Well, no, you need to stop, 7 or 3 or whatever you are. Even like when I read profiles on social media, love Jesus, love my husband, 7. That's how important it is. Who cares what you are? Because sometimes I do believe people are using it as an excuse to not change. It's thrilling to see a description and say, that's so me. Yay. Now change. Yes, that is so me. What should you look like as you become more like Jesus? So in this hour, I'm going to try to give you just some things that I've used to try to get people unstuck who are just stuck in a marriage that is not glorifying God, not what it ought to be. And as I get going, since this is a marriage thing, let me throw out there, I have a podcast now on marriage called Thrive. So if you're interested, you know, I know today sometimes, I've never listened to a podcast and still don't. But as I talk to people in my church, the younger people in that gym, They're all listening to podcasts. They listen to podcasts. They don't like to read books, which is so sad. But go with it. So this ministry in Atlanta said, do you want to start a podcast on marriage? I said, no. But they didn't give up. I said, okay. And so you might have a counselee that would listen, or you might benefit. Now, it's very basic, because they told me, keep it simple. You're talking to people that might know nothing. So you're going to listen and think, good grief, I know all this. But you might have somebody that's helpful. So if you just Google Brad Bigney Thrive, you can get it. It comes out every Wednesday. A new one will land today. And I just started last week with Vicky. So some of you even might think, you know, he talks about her. I'd love to hear from her. You could. So starting last week and for the next 14 weeks, we've already recorded 14, it'll be Vicky and I talking together, and I'm drawing her out from the wife's perspective to talk about her side of it. So if that's helpful to you, Thrive is a podcast that's free that you could get. Number one, what are some things we could poke at and work on that might get people unstuck? Get them to start praying like maybe they've never prayed before. Get them to start praying like maybe they've never prayed before. And what I mean is this: oh God, help me to see everything I'm not seeing about me. People don't pray that way. They pray, God, get her. God, take him to the woodshed and just whoop him real good. And grab him like a mother kitty cat grabs the kitty and just shakes him. Everybody always thinks it's my spouse that God needs to get. And if God would ask me, I'll give him the list. I'm just waiting for God to say, what do you think's wrong with your husband? Thought you'd never ask. Here you go. And even if you don't have counselees that have it written down, they usually don't. Man, they've got it right here. If you can tell even when you're counseling, they want to keep telling you about their spouse. But when you say, what part, I love to word it this way, what part have you played in the demise of this marriage? If there's a marriage that is crumbling, they played a part. I haven't met anybody yet that one side of this equation is just sinless. What part have you played in the demise of this marriage? And then they just stare at you like, that's such a confusing question. And the reason they look confused is they haven't given that any thought. Any thought. What are you doing? So one of the top complaints I get as a pastor is prayer doesn't work, Pastor Brad. Prayer doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. What they mean is name it, claim it, blab it, grab it doesn't work. But oh, I love to say, let me give you a prayer that God loves to answer. He's leaning over the heavens like, ask. Ask me to show you what you're not seeing about you. He would love to. He would love to. I used to always say, no one has a list written down. And one Sunday I finished preaching and I got down off the platform. And this woman just arrived so fast her scarf was still blowing horizontal in the wind. You know one of those? And I'm right here, and she's one of those people, to top it off, that has no awareness of space, appropriate space. Every time I take a step back, she takes a step forward, back. But I'm pinned against the stage. She's here, scarf blowing. And as she talks to me, she's so close, I can't really see, but in my peripheral, I realize she's shaking something as she talks. And she's saying, and then she brings it in front, right here is everything that's wrong with my husband. And it's a scroll. It's a parchment. And it has a red ribbon around it. It's rolled up. And it's vast. So then I asked a key question. Oh, I've learned to ask this. Because people come up to you and they act like nobody's helped them. I said, is there anybody else already working with you? She's like, oh, yeah, Pastor so-and-so. I'm like, praise God. So I take the scroll and I head back to my office to get my bag because that was the last service. And he's in a mission meeting at the I shouldn't have done this, but I thought it was funny. He's sitting there leading this missions meeting at the head of the table, and I come over and I whisper in his ear, hey, so-and-so wanted me to let you know, right here's everything that's wrong with her husband. I dropped it, and it thudded like, boom, boom. I know that will be super helpful. You'll want to work on all that right there. Oh, so when I get going in counseling, I assign prayer right up front first week, and I say, pray like this. Pray for God to show you what you're not seeing about you. Pray for me to have wisdom and know where to poke, how to help. Pray for your spouse to be encouraged and see you changing. And I assign them Psalm 139, 23 and 24 is the basis. And once we get going, like last week was session 5 with a couple I started with. So I looked at them and said, I know this wasn't a homework assignment.